From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen, some recycled paper, and please write down all the information. Because this isn't Couch Potato Radio, it's Activist Radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the Dragon in the road blockade. If you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil or pen handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And as always, we're going to start off with announcements. The Deer Lodge National Forest timber sale threatens roadless and wilderness areas. The Double Sec Timber Sale and Vegetation Management Project would log pristine habitat for wolf, bald eagle, lynx, and other threatened species in southwest Montana, according to the Deer Lodge Forest Defense Fund. The Forest Service draft EIS for the sale states that 1,128 acres of the 7,361-acre Upper East Fork roadless area are located within the project area. This roadless area exists as a fringe along the northern boundary of the Anaconda Pinter Wilderness. Please send some comments about the Double Sec Timber Sale and Vegetation Management Project to Lawrence Timchak. That's Lawrence Timchak, T-I-M-C-H-A-K, Acting Forest Supervisor of the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest. They're located at 420 Barrett Street, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, in Dillon, Montana. The zip code there is 59725, and Uncle Dennis has been to Dillon, Montana. Once again, for the Double Sec Timber Sale and Vegetation Management Project comments, please send them soon to Lawrence Timchak, Acting Forest Supervisor, Beaverhead Deer Lodge, National Forest, 420 Barrett Street, Dillon, Montana, 59725. If you'd like more information about this timber sale or the Deer Lodge Forest Defense Fund, contact Paul Richards, his number 406-225-4235. That's 406-225-4235, or send money to Paul Richard, without an A in the end there, P-A-U-L-R-I-C-H-R-D at AOL.com. And with only 2 weeks remaining before the WTO's 135 member countries meet in Seattle to write new international trade and investment agreements, including the Global Forest Logging Agreement, you have done a tremendous job in letting the president know you oppose this attack on the world's forests, but the administration is still intent on signing away forest protection laws and increasing logging at the WTO ministerial meeting. It is time for one last push to let the administration know that we want President Clinton to take forests off the chopping block at the WTO. Coming up this Tuesday, November 23rd, join forest activists from around the world and call Vice President Gore. His number, 202-456-2326. That's 202-456-2326 this coming Tuesday, November 23rd. And ask him to tell President Clinton to drop the global free logging agreement at the WTO because it's bad for forests and bad for biodiversity. A study by the administration found that eliminating tariffs on forest products, the core element of the global free logging agreement, will lead to increased logging in some of the world's most sensitive and biologically rich forests. So once again, National Call-In Day to Vice President Gore on Tuesday, November 23rd, 202-456-2326. For more information, contact Antonia, her number, 202-547-9230. That's Antonia at 202-547-9230 for more information, or you can send email to antonia@americanlands.org. antonia@americanlands.org. And here in California, the Point Reyes National Seashore was created in 1964 to protect a spectacular 71,000-acre mosaic landscape of estuaries, windswept beaches, coastal scrub, coastal grassland, salt marshes, and majestic coniferous forests. The park is a critical sanctuary for native species in the rapidly growing San Francisco Bay Area, where 7 million humans live within an hour's drive of the national park. Well, there is now an exciting opportunity open to the public to determine the future of the Point Reyes National Seashore. The park is asking anyone interested to let them know what issues and concerns they need to consider as they plan for the park's next 20 years. The park will take that information and use it to develop a management plan, and you need to submit your comments very quickly. Some suggestions when writing comments to the Point Reyes National Seashore include try to plan the seashore's future in a way that is responsive to the rapid growth of the Bay Area's nine-county region, not to build new facilities for cars, such as parking lots and roads, but instead expand the current shuttle system to reduce the need for cars and enhance access to the park by public transportation, maintain the status quo of mountain bike and horse use, study impacts of parked resources to determine whether the currently permitted levels of bikes and horses are compatible. Continue to acquire sensitive lands within the park and on the eastern side of Tomales Bay. And protect ranching as a cultural resource. However, there are potential conflicts between natural and cultural resource management. For example, runoff from ranching has harmed salmon and steelhead runs and water quality in Tomales Bay. Ask the park management to study the impacts of ranching. And they also want you to tell the park management to craft alternatives to provide the highest level of protection for the 32,000 acres of park wilderness. And here is the address for your comments. Point Reyes National Seashore, Point Reyes Station, California, 94956. Once again, Point Reyes National Seashore, Point Reyes Station, California, 94956. And they'd like those comments in by November 30th. So that one's... American Rivers is asking activists to cast a vote for Popular Science's Best of What's New Award for the removal of the Edwards Dam this summer in Maine. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission ordered the dam removed because it was destroying fish habitat. To help the dam removal win the Reader's Choice Award, go to the following website, www.popsci.com/features/bown99/vote.html. That webpage again, www.popsci.com/features/bown/bown99/vote. .html and vote for decommissioning Edwards Dam. If you'd like more information, contact Amy Sowers. Amy's number is 202-347-7550. That's 202-347-7550. And the Montana Wilderness Association Convention is holding its 41st annual convention in Butte, Montana, December 3rd and 4th. Wilderness, a Montana Treasure will feature talks by leading Northern Rockies activists on strategies to protect the region's diverse wildlands. Contact the Montana Wilderness Association for more information on registration and speakers. Their phone number, 406 406-443-7350. That's 406-443-7350 for more information on the 41st Montana Wilderness Association Convention, December 3rd and 4th in Butte, Montana. And act now, the Trinity River Mainstream Fisheries Restoration Environmental Impact Statement and Report needs your comments. The preferred alternative still allows over half of the water from the Trinity River to be diverted into the Sacramento River. The science has determined that a river needs at least 70% of its flow to maintain a healthy fishery. And what can you do to send your comments to... I've got two things here. One says comments must be received by December 8th, and another part says December 20th. Well, send them as soon as you can. And let's see here. You must send your comments to... It says December 20th again down here below. Send your comments to Mr. Joe Polos, P-O-L-O-S, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, 1125 16th Street, room 209, Arcata, California, 95521. Once again, your comments on the Trinity River EIS to Joe Polos, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, 1125 16th Street, room 209, Arcata, California, 95521. And let's see, there are some public hearings. The next public hearing is in Eureka on November 23rd at the Eureka Inn. That's in Northern California. The address is 518 7th Street in Eureka at the Eureka Inn. And the hearings are held from 1 to 3 p.m. and from 6 to 8 p.m. Okay, so make your comments on the Trinity River EIS. And folks, we have an opportunity to save 60 million acres of roadless areas in our national forest. Clinton has promised to save at least 40 million acres and is considering up to 60 million acres. The problem is this may be only a Gore election gift unless the administration receives thousands of calls and letters demanding that all 60 million acres be protected permanently from logging, off-road vehicles, mining, and grazing. Without massive comments from all of us, the final policy will no doubt be weak. This is a truly historic opportunity. Please take time to write your comments on the Roadless Area Initiative, and they can be submitted to USDA Forest Service, CAET. Attention, Roadless Areas NOI, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. Once again, that address for comments on the Roadless Area Initiative, USDA Forest Service, CAET, attention, Roadless Areas NOI, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. All right, and there are some hearings on the Roadless Area coming up. Tuesday, November 30th, if you're not out demonstrating against the WTO, you can go to Portland, Oregon, to the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in Portland, Oregon. And they say the hearings are from 5 to 6:30 and 6:30 to 8. Okay, I don't understand why they start one hearing a half a second after the other one. But anyway, Tuesday, November 30th in Portland, Oregon at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard, from 5 to 6:30 and 6:30 to 8. Tuesday, November 30th is in Atlanta, Georgia at the Georgia International Convention Center. And that is 1902 Sullivan Road. And the hearings are from 6:30 to 8 and 8 to 9:30. And Wednesday, December 1st in Sacramento, California at the Capitol Plaza Halls, 1025 9th Street in Sacramento, California. And from 6 to 7:30 and 7:30 to 9 are the public hearings on the Roadless Area. And then Thursday, December 9th in Washington, D.C. at the Hyatt Arlington Hotel, 1325 Wilson Boulevard in Arlington, Virginia, from 6:30 to 8 and 8 to 10. I believe these are all in the evening. So, once again, Thursday, December 9th in the Hyatt Arlington, Arlington, Virginia, 1325 Wilson Boulevard. And those hearings are from 6:30 to 8 and 8 to 10 p.m. In response to the National Park Service's draft environmental impact statement for winter use activities in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks and the John D. Rockefeller Memorial Parkway, the Fund for Animals announces the development of its own independent initiative, the Natural Regulation Alternative. The Park Service's EIS recommends trail grooming and allows snowmobiles and snow coaches. It was the product of an agreement reached after the Fund for the Animals and other groups sued the service in 1997, claiming the parks never adequately evaluated the environmental impacts of winter use. However, the Fund for Animals calls the EIS unacceptable. The Fund's plan calls for prohibition on snowmobiles, snow coaches, and trail grooming in the parks, restrictions on road plowing, and the development of an elevated monorail system to facilitate public use of the parks with fewer environmental impact. Snowmobiles and groomed trails impact bison and threaten species such as grizzly bears and gray wolves, the Fund maintains. Wild animals use the groomed trails as energy-efficient travel routes, impacting population dynamics, distribution, movements, and habitat use patterns. The trails also facilitate bison migration out of Yellowstone into Montana state lands, where the bison are gunned down or trucked to slaughter by state officials, and snowmobiles are the greatest source of air pollution in the parks. If you'd like more information, you can visit the following webpage, www.fund.org/alerts/bison.html. Once again, that webpage is www.fund.org/alerts/bison.html. And the Park Service's EIS can be found online. Their webpage is www.nps.gov/planning/current.htm. Once again, nps.gov/planning/current.htm. And the Ecology Center and the Lands Council have established a website documenting the destructive logging practices of the Forest Service. Photographs on the site reveal severe on-the-ground impacts from salvage logging operations in the Kootenai National Forest. And delivering timber to private interests, not protecting public resources, is still the Forest Service's primary objective, said Jeff Jewell of the Ecology Center. And that website can be found at www.wildrockies.org/TECI/forest fraud, all one word. Once again, www.wildrockies.org/TECI/forest fraud, all one word. For more information, you can contact Jeff Jewell, J-U-E-L, at wildrockies.org. That's Jeff Jewell, all one word, at wildrockies.org. The phone number, 406-728-5733. 406-728-5733. And this summer, the U.S. Forest Service released a new management plan for the national grasslands covering 2.9 million acres in North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Nebraska. And these grasslands are home to sensitive fish, wildlife, and rare plants, and they are the last remnant of the wild grasslands that covered millions of acres of the Great Plains prior to the railroads. Livestock grazing has degraded the Northern Plains grasslands over the past decades, prompting Forest Service officials to propose reduced grazing by 10 to 15% and up to 30 to 40% in heavily impacted areas in the new plans. Local and state grazing associations, however, are protesting the changes and pressuring Forest Service planners to reverse course. If you're a conservationist, you need to send your comments to counter the livestock industry pressure. Send your comments to Northern Great Plains Planning Team, 125 North Main, Shadron, Nebraska, Shadron, the zip 69337. Once again, the Northern Great Plains Planning Team, 125 North Main, Shadron, Nebraska, Shadron, 69337. And they'd like to have those comments in by January 12th of next year. If you want to send email, it goes to ngpmail/r2_nebraska@fs.gov. ngpmail.fed.us. Once again, that email address, ngpmail/r2_nebraska@fs.fed.us. And unfortunately, as I announced last week, Peter Brauver, Earth First activist for Los Angeles Earth First, has died of a heart attack a little over a week and a half ago. And I have another letter here. Old school Earth Firsters knew him, either directly or through his art. We'll be saddened to learn that Peter Brauver has died. Pete came into the tribe fairly early, around the mid-1980s. At the time, I was, as far as I knew, the only person in all of Los Angeles subscribing to the Earth First Journal. As word of Earth First grew, the journal staff would pass along my name and number to anyone south of Bakersfield looking for like-minded pro-grizzly types. Thus, having come back from my first Round River Rendezvous, the 1985's gathering in Colorado, I received a call one day with a deep, sonorous voice at the other end, tinged with an intermittent professorial accent. It was Pete describing the research he was doing for the Sierra Club, but the club, he said, couldn't quite swing with his deep eco-vision, and maybe there was a way to work with Earth First and say, did I want to organize a carpool to the next rendezvous? We talked on the phone a couple more times after that, before realizing we lived about four blocks apart. It was a great friendship was sparked, and at the 1986 Idaho Round River Rendezvous, Pete and I ambitiously agreed to serve as contacts for the first ever Rainforest Awareness Week. This was before Rainforest Action Network even existed, and Pete and I, now official contacts, with his address and my phone number in the journal, cobbled together a demo in downtown L.A. Bank with the usual nefarious mercantile connections to the global destruction of endangered ecosystems. We called some local Greens, Greenpeacers, and others, and a homesprung movement was born. It was while preparing for this particular demo that I became aware of Pete's deft and spirited touch with a paintbrush or felt marker. His banners and posters were works of art into themselves and wound up in photos on TV and, most importantly, as Ground Zero inspiration at demos numerous times over the years. Pete would often conduct banner-making workshops in the garage of the house he shared with his father, Richard. Both gents would graciously feed and house itinerant activists who'd blow into town for some action or other. For many of us, their home was often a spot of tranquility, replete with a warm meal during hectic times. Pete's art made its way around the movement, appearing variously in the pages of the Earth First Journal and places like Wild Earth. His t-shirt designs graced some threads, both for the Alliance for the Paving Moratorium and for the 1984 Earth First Activist Conference. Pete also crewed with the Sea Shepherd, serving as the ship's cook, and Daryl Cherney recently reminisced that Pete was pivotal in helping organize Redwood Summer. I had the honor of being chained to a bulldozer with Pete. A few of us were trying to stop a road and a housing tract built right to the edge of some local wilderness in the Santa Monica Mountains. The plans called for paving dirt roads, obliterating hiking trails, etc. We were partially successful. The developer, embarrassed by bad publicity, agreed to a meeting with the city council and more moderate neighborhood groups, which had been fighting the sprawl. Compromises were struck, and only part of that canyon was wrecked. They left the dirt road on top unpaved, so at least the area hasn't become a victim to LA's out-of-control traffic sprawl. Earth First was at the height of its mainstream media coverage in those days, and Pete and I wound up on some radio shows together, and he would usually launch into some complex philosophical treatise about the need for wilderness that often left our hosts baffled or politely nodding assent. And I have one particular memory of Pete on a local TV station, sitting in the studio having wrapped himself in a suit, his hair wild, eyes agleam, delivering another scientific mystical screed. Pete also struggled with what is clinically described as bipolar condition, though really I think he just didn't have the usual societal filters for crowding out the voices, energies, and emanations that swirl around us. Prone to manic highs and disconnected lows, Pete was personally wrenched by both the FBI backlash to Earth First, the Arizona bust, the car bombing and subsequent investigation, and the rancor and fractionalism that have marked the movement to varying degrees ever since. He didn't get out into the wild as much in recent years, and I'm sorry to say he and I were lax about taking those hikes into the local foothills we'd been promising each other. He leaves behind poetry, sketches, paintings, mathematical treatises, unfinished theorems, many sweet memories, and an enormous library. He often loaned me books ranging from tomes on chaos theory to translations of Rilke, to an early edition of Barry Lopez's collection of coyote tales, Giving Birth to Thunder, Sleeping with His Daughter. In the final story of that collection, Coyote finishes his work. Old Man says to Coyote, "Your work is finished, Coyote. You have traveled far and done much good. Now you will go where I have prepared a home for you." Pete, with all his Coyote energy, is there now. His heart gave way at 56 years of age. Trickster, painter, beat poet, mad scientist, eco-warrior, Los Angeles Earth First organizer, and dear friend, I will miss him. And this letter is from Mark L. Williams. In other activist news, we have our... let's see, what do I have going here? Actually, I have a little music set up here, and we'll get into activists and action news right after the break. So just want to remind folks who are used to tuning into Earth First Radio on the Internet, or if you are rebroadcasting Earth First Radio, that because next Thursday evening when I record this show is Thanksgiving, I will be taking a little break next week, and there will be no Earth First Radio show recorded for uploading next week. So if you are looking for Earth First Radio next week, you'll have to make do with stuff that's already on the net. I will be back in 2 weeks with more Earth First Radio. But we're going to take a little musical break, and then we'll be back with the second half of this show.
A nuclear demon, a menace to our time, and he travels through the desert on the Arizona power lines. Mark Davis and Mark Baker and Margaret Millett too, they looked up at those towers, oh they knew what they must do. Oh, ain't it grand out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand. Down on you, you know. Now the FBI was watching, so they sent in Michael Tate, a phony Vietnam veteran vowed to guard the fascist state. Well, he won their trust and friendship, to his flaws they all were blind, till those flares lit up the skies above the Arizona power lines. In your hands. Oh, take it slow. It could all come crashing down on you, you know. They arrested Dave Foreman. They said he was behind the scheme. Well, they jailed the founder of Earth First, but they did not stop the dream. So should you walk at Abbey's desert and see a little flame that shines, don't you say a prayer for the next to dare the Arizona power lines. Oh, immigrants, out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hands. Oh, take it slow. It could all come crashing down on you, you know. It could all come crashing down on you, you know.
Stay tuned. Earth First Radio will be right back.